All right, this is week number two, class number one, of faith, living faith. Now, last week, we finished off, we'll just briefly review leading into tonight. Last week, we finished off talking about how important it is for us to pay close attention to things like word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and prophecy. When I'm talking about a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or prophecy, I'm talking about when somebody might be in a church service and they call you out and they say, "Well, sir, ma'am, the Lord's given me a word, given me something to share with you," and they begin to speak God's word into your life. And we talked about how that we're not often taught to place a tremendous amount of value on that. It's good, it's nice, especially if they call us out and they tell us we're going to get rich and have all kinds of neat things. We really like all of that. But we've never really been instructed, at least I never had, to really place heavy emphasis on those kinds of words, in spite of the fact that it's coming from the same source as the Bible. It's just that the Bible was inspired of God to be put down in writing, and this is all the Scripture we'll ever have. But these words of knowledge, wisdom, and prophecy are coming from the same source. And Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. And so, if we're going to live according to every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, then we have got to place value on words that come through ministers. And again, the Bible talks about judging things that are said, judging the prophets, you know, that kind of thing. And so, we don't just take everything that is said. We've got to let it bear witness with us. We've got to confirm it with the Word, etc., and so forth. Now, all that said, on page 5 of your outline, we see that there are 4 invariable aspects of faith. Now, these are not the only aspects of faith, but I would say that these are more or less the 4 major invariable aspects of faith. And when I say invariable, what I mean is they're not going to change. So you can say what you want, preach what you want, teach what you want. The bottom line is, according to the Word of God, these are 4 aspects of faith that are never going to change. Turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. A passage that so many people know by heart and been preached so much. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes only by hearing the Word of God. Now, immediately, when you make a statement like that, there are a lot of people that would say, "Oh no, Brother Martin, you know, the family was in a car wreck, and you know, one of the kids died, and all this kind of stuff, and boy, our faith really grew during a time like that." Well, your faith may have grown, but it didn't grow because of the car wreck. It didn't grow because you lost your job. It didn't grow because you went bankrupt. It didn't grow because you were sick. It didn't grow because of this thing and that bad thing. Your faith did not grow because of those things. Here's what's interesting. So many times you find where people encounter bad things and they turn to God, and they start getting into the Word, they start getting into prayer, etc., and so forth. And then they say, "The bad thing caused my faith to grow." No, the bad thing didn't. The bad thing may have caused you to make a decision to get into the Word of God, but the bad thing didn't make the faith grow. And regardless of what people out there would tell you, my question to them would be this: show me in the Bible where God has instructed us that faith comes by tragedy, hardship, sickness, disease, poverty, and all these other things. Show me in the Bible where God has said, all right, whatever your denomination and pastor and everybody else preaches, that's one thing, but I want you to show me in Scripture where God has said faith comes by those things. Well, I can't find it. But what I do find is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And quite frankly, I can't find anything else in Scripture that says faith comes by blank. I see faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, but I don't find anything else in Scripture that tells me faith comes by something else. These other things that happen in our lives, they're opportunities to use faith, but they do not cause faith to come. See, you have to understand that faith is a spiritual thing. We've talked about that already. Faith is not a natural thing. Faith is a spiritual thing. And I just, the deeper I get into all of this, not just this issue of faith, but the whole relationship with God, the more I see how that the body of Christ has unwittingly, yet nevertheless, tried to humanize God. What I mean by that is to take God and make Him human and try to relate to Him from that perspective, and you can't do that. When people say things like, well, God did this and God did that, well, how do you know? Well, I just know that He did, but how do you know? What does His Word have to say about it? What has God revealed to us about Himself through His Word? What do you know about God through His Word? Because if the foundation for knowing anything about God doesn't come from the Word, then you've got a bad foundation. Your foundation for everything you know about God has to come from His Word, what He has said about Himself, how He has described Himself and revealed Himself to us through His Word. And in the body of Christ, we make God out all too often to be like human beings. We talk about how God kills people to teach somebody a lesson. No, God doesn't do that. God has never killed Uncle Joe to teach Mama a lesson. If God wants to teach Mama a lesson, He'll teach Mama a lesson, but He's not going to kill Uncle Joe in the process. But you've got people that say things like that. You've got people that say things like, well, you know, God was lonely in heaven, so He took, you know, 9-year-old Sissy, you know, another flower in the garden of heaven. Excuse me, you got that from where? You got that from your perception of God, because you see a twisted humanity and you're trying to relate to God through the mindset of twisted humanity, and you can't do that. God is deity. He's perfect. He's holy. And what He's trying to do in us, once we get born again, is help us to begin to understand who we become in Him. But as long as you keep trying to relate to Him on human terms, you're going nowhere. You're going to end up looking toward traditions and what headquarters has to say and what this preacher says and that preacher says. Listen, if you haven't figured it out yet, just go home, turn on Christian TV and watch it for about 3 or 4 days, and you're going to hear all kinds of conflicting teaching coming out of the tube. Well, they can't all be right. I mean, if Brother Joe preaches one thing and Brother Bob preaches something else and it conflicts, it's not what they're each saying isn't right relative to their situation. There is not relative truth in the kingdom of God. There is eternal truth that has been established and based upon who God is, and it's either God's way or it's man's way. And the problem is, too many of us in the body of Christ, as Christians, we've chosen to go along with man's way. Well, you know, I know what you're saying there, Brother Martin, but you know, my pastor says, well, praise God for your pastor, but is what he says lining up with the Word of God? Well, he says it is. Yeah, but have you taken the time to find out if it lines up with the Word of God? Of course he says it is. Every one of us that stands up in a pulpit and preaches, we're not going to stand up and say, now folks, today's sermon does not line up with the Bible in any way, shape, or form, but I'm going to preach it anyway. We all stand up and tell you it lines up with the Word. Just like all the stuff you hear conflicting on Christian TV. So what are you going to do? Well, you've got the Word of God and you've got the Holy Spirit. Now, it's up to you to take it from there. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is the only way that faith comes. The Bible is to be the primary source. It's filled with promises that God has made to every Christian. It's the track record of God's reliability. It's the guarantee of everything you can expect to receive from God, and it is the description of everything you can become in God. And this is extremely important for us. You know, when I was raised, when it came to praying for somebody who was sick, essentially the prayer went something like this: O Father, if it be thy will. We did not know. Why did we not know? I don't know why we did not know, but we did not know, because it tells me what His will is right here in the Word. His word for healing is right here. His guarantee, His promise, His desire, His will, it's right here in His word. Now, for me to stand up and say, O Father, if it be thy will, what I'm saying is, God, You know, the Bible tells me how loving and holy and perfect and all these things, you know, righteous, just, and, you know, you're just everything, God. And boy, that's a comfort. However, it might be that you want my dad to die at age 40. So I don't know, God. So if it be thy will for daddy to live and me and my brother and sister and my mother to have a daddy and a husband, then God, healing. Otherwise, Father, your ways are beyond our ways. We knowest not what thy will is. No, excuse me. It's right here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The very fact that a lot of people pray along that line in other goofy ways proves that they do not know what God's will is. If you don't know what God's will is, you can't be living in faith. Because we say, all right, just shall live by faith. I'm living by faith. I'm a faith man. Praise God. I'm a faith woman. Praise God. Okay, faith in what? In what? What is your faith based upon? If you don't know God's will, what are you putting your faith in? Your faith is supposed to be based upon what He has said in His Word. Your faith is supposed to be established upon His Word. That's why I said faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So you can say, I'm super faith person, but if you don't know God's will, then how can you say that you're a super faith person? Because the only way that your faith can operate is if it's based upon God's will revealed in God's Word. Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and the Bible is to be the primary source. However, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and prophecy are secondary. They are never to replace the Bible. They may be personal, but they will parallel the Bible. You say, well, what do you mean they'll parallel the Bible? Okay. There is no book of 2 James in the Bible that's got everything in there about my life from the moment I was born until the day I leave this earth. It's not in there, all right? There's not a book of Susie or Billy or anything else. What I have here is a general word. But if somebody comes along and they give me word of knowledge, word of wisdom, whatever, for one, it's going to parallel Scripture. For example, if somebody comes along and says, God has called you to the ministry of nursery worker. Well, that sounds all well and good, except that's not in Scripture. So that word can't have come from God. God has called you to be an auto mechanic. No. He may want me working as an auto mechanic, but there is no such thing as the ministry of auto mechanic. Remember, we went over this last year about the various ministry gifts and callings. So if somebody prophesies something over me or word of wisdom over me or whatever it would be, but it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it didn't come from God. However, if they come and they give me something, they speak a word into my life, it lines up with the Word, it's also going to bear witness with my spirit. Somebody were to come to me tonight, Brother Martin, I have a word from the Lord. Thus saith God, you are to go to Argentina next month. I would say, get thee behind me, devil. Because I know God has not called me to go to Argentina next month. I know this. Now, He may somewhere down the line want me to go to Argentina, but I know, as I stand here, I know He doesn't want me to go to Argentina next month. So, when I get a word like that, it doesn't line up with the Word of God, doesn't bear witness with my spirit, then I know it didn't come from God. However, there was I just won't go into the details. But there was a word that was given to me many years ago. And it was given to me by somebody that I trust, reliable, and I still have it in written form. Well, actually, this person wrote it down and gave it to me. And it bore witness with me, even at the time. But I couldn't figure out how this is going to take place. I didn't have a clue. But nevertheless, on the inside, it was like, well, yeah, okay, that feels okay. In here, it feels okay. I can understand this. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I trust this person. I believe this person. And because of the nature of that Word, I can take that Word and I can go back to God and I say, God, now, so-and-so has said this to me. And they said it was a word from the Lord that I would be thus and thus and such and such. Now, Father, I don't understand how this is going to happen. But I have this word from you. And it bears witness with my spirit related to the call that you have upon my life. Therefore, I say, and then I can make a confession out of this word. A lot of folks don't want to do things like that. Because, now get this, but that was just a person speaking to you. That wasn't really God. Okay? Would you please explain to me how we received this? Did God stretch His arm down from heaven with a big ink pen and write all these words? No. It was given by inspiration of God. God spoke, men received, and in some cases, they spoke. Remember the example we gave last week? How at the time that the thing was spoken, we saw it in the Old Testament, it wasn't Scripture, but it became Scripture. But at the time, it was just these guys talking. But later on, it became Scripture. Likewise, everything you have in your hand passed through a human being. This whole Bible passed through a human being. That's a shock to some people. Oh, Brother Martin, blasphemy, blasphemy. No. This all came through, it came from God, but it came through a human being. Did some of you not know that? You think that it just like washed up on a seashore somewhere? You didn't realize that? It came from God through a human being and they wrote it down. See? What? Paul sat down and wrote these letters, did he not? In some places he dictated and other people wrote it. In fact, some of them, means the one place the guy even says, "And I so and so, writing this with my own hand." They tell you who wrote it. It's a human being. But it came from God. Likewise, somebody comes to you and then they give you a word from God. It came from God and passed through a human being to you. But that doesn't mean that it's any less impacting on your life. And like I shared last week, a lot of folks have missed direction from God. Because they've taken these words from ministers and they put them on a shelf someplace and they said, "Well, okay, praise God, that's neat. I'm glad that happened." And I've had people. I preached a message. I don't know, a couple of years ago. It was called "Prophesy to the Prophecy." And what it entailed was, if somebody comes along and they give you a word from God, it's foolish to take that word and do nothing with it. But if you begin to take that word and begin, remember, because most of these words are going to be more personal than they are general for the body of Christ. You receive that word and somebody's spoken this thing to you and you just say, "Well, okay, praise God, I guess it's just going to happen." No, it's not just going to happen. Oh, but it's God's will. If it's God's will, it's going to happen. All right, let me ask you this. Is it God's will for everybody to be born again? Is it God's will for some folks to just like reject Jesus and go on to hell forever? Is that God's will? No, He sent His Son Jesus so that anybody who believes on Jesus Christ can be born again. But the choice is ours. And until you make that choice to act on His will, you don't get born again. Very simple. Likewise, somebody comes and they give you a word of prophecy. And you walk away and you say something like, "Well, you know, if it comes to pass, then it was of God. But if it doesn't, it wasn't of God." No, excuse me. It'll come to pass if you act on what God has given you. When you take a word that you have received from God, and remember, this is why it's so important for us to when we receive a word, you get in the Bible, make sure it lines up with the Word of God, and you get in the presence of God and get it confirmed from Him that this was from Him. And sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot of time in the presence of God to know it came from God. Sometimes, man, you know, I mean, I remember one time, and I won't tell you when, where, or who, but I was called out and was given a word. I mean, it sounded great. And there were a few people, sounded really neat. But I knew what was going on. God was giving me a very gentle rebuke, publicly. And I don't think anybody else in that room caught on. I don't even know that the person giving me the word caught on. But I knew. And so I had to have a little talk with God about that. And He was kind enough to do it, you know, gently. But I got the hint. And it didn't take a whole lot of private time with the Lord. "God, is this you?" I knew it was Him. Because on the inside, it was like the Holy Spirit was saying, "Uh-huh. But when you receive a personal word, you've got a general word here. And you know, by His stripes you were healed. That's general, but it's also personal. You know what I'm saying? But when you receive a personal word from God, and you grasp that as being from God, and you treat it as such, that also plays a part as far as your faith is concerned. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And remember, again, Jesus said, we live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. He did not say every word that's written down as Scripture. He said every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. So it's not just a matter of what we see in this book, but it's also a matter of what is spoken to us through genuine ministers receiving a genuine word from God. Now, this is another reason why Satan wants to fight the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in the churches today. Because he knows that God will speak through people and give specific words to individuals concerning their life, their family, their everything, their ministry, no matter what it is. He knows God will do that. He had to put up with it, you know, for thousands of years. So he knows God's going to do this. So he wants to interfere with that. Well, one way to interfere with it is just convince the preachers that all the gifts of the Spirit aren't in operation today. Even though God said, you know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even though Jesus said that the Word wouldn't pass away, be there forever. Even though we see confirmation in the Word that these things are still for today, if the devil can get people convinced they're not for today, then what we do is we start slamming the door on operations of God in ways, slamming the door on ways that God would move in our churches. Now, here's the crazy thing about it. You've got some churches out there that are even Holy Ghost churches, you know, whatever you want to call them, Pentecostal, full gospel, whatever, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled churches that slam the door on God and want to hinder His operation. I've heard reports of Spirit-filled churches. You know, they believe in, you know, the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost and the gifts and all that. But when it comes to the operation of the gifts, they actually stifle them. They actually take people into back rooms if they think that some, you know, manifestation is going to take place. I mean, give me a break. You know, Jesus said, you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. I can't imagine that God's going to say, well, now, if I start to move, you better take them in the back room because you don't know what's going to happen. Sorry. God wants it. I don't see Paul doing that. Anyway. But faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Bible is primary, and words from the Lord to you are secondary. And I give you this example here. The Bible is the tree. Words of knowledge, wisdom, and prophecy are fruit. In other words, it'll be something born forth out of the Word of God, paralleling with the Word of God. So, aspect number one, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Aspect number two, turn over to Jude 20. As you know, we do not go through one course without bringing this up somewhere along the line. Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. All right? Now, the Bible says, not my traditions, not my headquarters. Where are your headquarters, Brother Martin? They're in heaven. Those are my headquarters. It's not my tradition. The traditions I grew up with and other traditions that I lived with didn't tell me all these things. Okay? So it's not my traditions and it's not my religion. God's Word. You just read it right here. God's Word says that you build yourself up on your most holy faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and we are built up and established on that faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit enables the Holy Spirit to help move us from a foundation of five senses faith to a foundation of Word of God faith. Now, again, let me just stop here for a moment. It's going to be a challenge to you. Most of us in the body of Christ, just from my personal observation and watching people, most of us are really geared more toward five senses faith than we are spirit faith. Because most Christians that are supposed to be, you know, full gospel and all that, they rely more on what happens than on what is in them, on the inside of them, what they have as far as the Word of God and all that's concerned. You know, healing. Well, I believe it when I see it. No, you know, you either believe that God wants you healed now and that the healing is there, or you don't. Oh, Brother Martin, you're living in a fantasy world. You're just telling us that we're supposed to ignore the circumstances. How can you ignore the circumstances? How can I be saying that? Not even God says that. If we're supposed to ignore the circumstances, then Jesus went through a lot of problem, a lot of struggle, a lot of pain for nothing. You know, we don't need by His stripes we were healed if I'm supposed to ignore the fact that I need the healing. Are you with me? So, five senses faith is easy to get caught up in. It's here's one. It's easy to give in the offering when you got a lot of money in the bank. But when there's not a lot of money in the bank, suddenly it becomes a lot harder to hear God. But I can't give. I can't give. I just can't give. Well, why not? I ain't got no money. Got $35 in the bank. Well, did the Lord tell you to give something? Well, it's like I felt like He was saying, give 30. But I can't be God. God wouldn't take me down to $5. Did God tell you that? Well, no. But I just figured. Because if that's really Him and I give that $30 and I only got $5 left, I mean, how am I going to have lunch money? Five cents is faith. Five cents is faith. See? That's what it is. God, if you've got 35 in the bank, one thing God will not do is tell you to write a check for 45. I mean, that's idiot faith there. That's not God. God doesn't believe in rubber checks. Believe me. If you've got 35 in the bank, God tells you to write a check for 30. Believe me, God doesn't have a problem with that. Because you're talking about somebody who has streets made out of solid gold. And He doesn't care if they get dirty. What's it to Him? If they get, you know, if the snow plows dig up chunks along the way, why, He can just create new gold, can He not? Do you see what I'm saying? Money problems, that's one thing God does not have. Well, when it comes to five senses faith, if you're operating in spirit faith instead of five senses faith, you're going to be doing some things that don't seem to make sense. At least not to the senses. But in the realm of the spirit, it makes perfect sense. Made no sense. See, Jesus is up, He's praying all night long. And He tells the disciples, look guys, you go on ahead. So He's praying all night long, storm comes up. And God tells Jesus, Jesus, I want you to go to the other side. You say, well, how do you know God told Him to do that? Because He headed off. He headed toward the other side. And Jesus is walking on the water. Well, who told Him to walk on the water? It had to be God. God said, Jesus, take off. So Jesus takes off. Five senses faith says, dumb, dumb, dumb. You can't walk on water. Jesus didn't seem to have a problem with that. In fact, here are these guys, they're in there, row, row, row your boating, going nowhere fast. And Jesus, man, He's ready to pass them. You've read the story. He's ready to pass them. What does that mean? I mean, the Bible says that He would have passed them. All right? It means Jesus is going to the other side, like He told these guys to do. Now, He knew that boat was there. Well, how do you know He knew the boat was there? If He was close enough for them to see Him, then He was close enough for Him to see them. And Jesus, man, He's just headed on. He's just going to the other side. And He would have passed them, meaning He didn't even stop to say, I'll see you at the other side, guys, and take off. He didn't say, having problems? He's going to the other side because that's where He was supposed to go. And He would have passed them. But they're the ones that stopped Him. And they said, oh, it's a ghost. We're all going to die. And Jesus, man, you guys are so ate up. He was going to walk right on by and leave them there. They'd still been out there the next morning. Got to catch up to Jesus. What do you mean you got to catch up to Him? He passed us last night. What, did He have a boat? No, man, He just walked right by us last night. Man, you've been out in the moon too long. He would have passed them. That's because he was walking by faith, not by sight. See? When we get to the place that we're walking by faith, not by sight, weird things start to happen. Weird as it relates to the natural. Weird as it... Who? Give me a break. He spits, makes mud, and slaps it on the guy's face. And that's supposed to work? Did though, didn't it? He spits, sticks his fingers in the guy's ears. And that's supposed to work? But it did, didn't it? He tells the guy to go wash. And that's supposed to work? But it did, didn't it? See, when you're operating by faith, I'm talking true, genuine spirit faith instead of five senses faith, then your life is going to be different than what it is right now. I believe God wants us to do this. I believe God wants us to do that. Well, you going to do it? Well, I'd sure like to, but I just don't know how we're going to pay for it. I just don't know where we'll do it. I just don't know where. There you go. See, you're sitting back. If God says do it, it would seem to me like, since He knows the beginning from the end, He must have something planned, right? Five senses faith says, I got to figure it out first. Now, granted, there's a thing of wisdom in this, but you got to work with God on it. See? Well, here in the Bible it says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We're built up and established on that faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps us to get past five senses faith into Word of God faith. And I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of Christians that are living five senses faith that they think is Word of God faith, and it really isn't. And this phrase, if you look in verse 20, but you, body of Christ, building up yourselves. You are building up yourselves. How? By praying in the Holy Ghost. You build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. In other words, I'm the one that's doing this. And it's a process, building up yourselves. It's a process. It's like the construction of a building. Then I give you the example here. The more that you pray in spirit, you pray in tongues, the more that you do this, you're adding more stories to this building. You're putting more brick, more mortar. You're laying more rebar. You're putting all these things that you're building, you're constructing. See, it's a process that takes place. It's what he's not talking about here in verse 20 is the end result. He's describing the process by which you're headed toward the end result. You're going to see some more of that as we go through here tonight. He says, you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And we're the ones that are doing the building, not the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I thought the Holy Ghost is involved. Well, He is involved. But it's like He's there on the inside. And He's wanting to help you. He's wanting to do His part. But until you start praying in the Spirit, He can't get involved. So He is involved, but not until we start doing the praying part. The moment that we start doing the praying part is the moment that we are opening the door and having Him come in to help us. It's kind of like this, maybe. We're building that building. We're constructing that building. We're praying in the Spirit. He comes in. And he says, all right, now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that brick and put that brick right there, and then put that brick there over here, and I want you to put this over there, and I want you to put... Do you see what I'm saying? So, he's there helping us. We're not doing it alone. But until we start the praying, he can't do his part. And it just boggles my mind how many Christians, I'm talking spirit-filled Christians I've come across, you can read this verse... You can preach this verse, you can teach this verse till you're, you know, what is it to say, blue in the face? And they still won't accept it. They still don't believe it. They still say things, oh, that's just the way you believe. But wait a minute, how can I come to that belief if I don't see it in the Word of God? So I see this in the Bible. The Bible says, God Himself has spoken to me, and He has said, body of Christ, let me clue you in on something. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by my word, but you build yourself up on that holy, on that most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. God has said this. So if I see it in the Word of God, why in the world would I want to believe anything else? This is what it says. So God's given me this directive concerning faith, and this directive is the Holy Spirit's there. He will help you, but you've got to get Him involved, and you do that by praying in the Spirit. As you pray in tongues, you are engaging yourself in divine interaction with the Holy Spirit, and He's doing His part to help you do your part to go beyond five senses faith and go deeper into a realm of Word of God faith. And if we don't pray in tongues, this won't happen. It's very simple. And again, I've encountered folks in the body of Christ, Christian, Spirit-filled. You point this out, God has said, pray in tongues, build yourself up. Pray in tongues, build yourself up. Oh, but no, Brother Martin, it's not just that. It's this, or you can do these things as well, or this. It's like, no, wait a minute. No. God's Word says this. Nowhere else in the Bible. Hey, we gave you a Strong's Concordance last year, okay? Go home, use it. Start looking some of this up. Nowhere else in Scripture does it say that you build yourself up on your most holy faith or you build yourself up on faith. I mean, nowhere else do you see this kind of an instruction associated with anything else other than praying in the Holy Spirit. So therefore, if I'm going to build myself up on my most holy faith, I have no choice other than to start praying in tongues and allowing the Holy Spirit to do His part. Now look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. I'll tell you what, let's do this. We'll take a little bit longer break because I don't want to start this right now. So go ahead and take about like maybe 12 minutes or so. Second Revelation or Second James or any of those things. It won't ever be there. But the source is exactly the same. Now in Jeremiah chapter 28, I want you to look here and see this. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying... Now stop right there. Here's the scenario. You have this guy, Hananiah, who's the son of the prophet. They're in the house of the Lord in front of a bunch of priests and a bunch of people, and Hananiah is speaking to Jeremiah. Now, here's what Hananiah says. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words, which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Now stop right here. In other words, what Jeremiah is saying. Now, you have to really read closely what's going on. Jeremiah is kind of in a pinch here. Everybody wants deliverance, right? Everybody wants the yoke of Babylon broken, right? So here comes Hananiah, and he says or delivers the popular message. It's going to be broken and all things restored. Now, Jeremiah doesn't stand up and say, wrong, wrong, wrong. What Jeremiah says is, well, amen. I mean, hey, I hope you're right. And boy, I'd sure like to see that happen. But let me remind you of something. While we're all gathered together here, there are other people that have come along in the past, you know, the prophets before you and me, and they have spoken against these other kingdoms. But whatever prophecy comes to pass to the people that are speaking all of this peace, then we're going to know that the Lord has spoken through them. What Jeremiah is really doing is rebuking Hananiah, and he's telling him, look, others have come before you and tried this, it hasn't worked, they've been wrong, and buddy, you're wrong too. That's not how he put it, but let's read further. Then Hananiah, verse 10, the prophet took the yoke from off of the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Now that's pretty heavy. Now here's what's interesting in this. Everything we just read became Scripture, but it wasn't Scripture at the time. Do you understand? Do you follow me in this? Jeremiah didn't pick it up and say, Now hold on there, Hananiah. Let me turn over and find this here, because I'm supposed to say something to you. It wasn't Scripture at the time. And here's what happened. Hananiah, he thought he was... He wasn't trying to mislead people on purpose. You understand? I mean, the guy thought he was speaking for God, but he got caught up in the emotions. Jeremiah, he doesn't come down too hard on Hananiah. He gives him the benefit of the doubt, and he gives him kind of a hidden rebuke, and then goes his way. The Lord says, Go back to that man, and you tell him this. So Jeremiah turns around and goes back, and he says, Dude, you're going to die. And he did. That was my version. This was not Scripture when it happened, but Jeremiah received from God. He received from God what to say. It was a word from the Lord. Now, later, it became Scripture, but at the time, it wasn't Bible. There was no Bible there. But it was a word from the Lord. And Jesus said, every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Let's take 5 minutes, and we'll come back and finish up for tonight. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Now, let me stop right here and throw this in. For the longest time, I couldn't figure this thing out, where he's talking about thrice I was beaten with rods. For a long time, I thought he was making reference to... have you heard of caning? You know what caning is? Where they tie you up and they take a cane and they whip you and just about kill you with it. I thought that's what he was talking about. I'm thinking in my mind, cane, rods. That's not what he's talking about here. There was a practice back in those days to where if, for whatever reason, I guess they didn't need any good reason, just that they decided this is what they would want to do, they'd tie you down flat and they would take rods. They could have been metal rods, but it could have been a wooden rod. But anyway, they would take these rods and they would beat your feet until the bones in your feet were broken. And you couldn't walk. Well, he says this happened to him 3 times. 3 times. Now, that may not mean a whole lot to you, but what it means to me is this. Unless there was a miraculous healing of Paul's feet, he suffered every day of his life. Because he had to go from one place to the other to preach the gospel. You know what I personally believe? I believe the man was healed. I believe miracles took place in this guy's body. Anyway, why don't you take the miracle of a break for the next 5 minutes and we'll come back.